Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Irregular Bitches, the podcast that aims to take midlife and all the challenges within it and firmly plant some positive and a little bit naughty pants on them. I'm Sarah Kaywood and my co-host is Lou Mitchell, who has an array of the most positive pants and I'm sure probably some really naughty ones too, because that's how she rolls. Have you?
I love that. You're so right. You know me so well.
You got naughty pants and positive ones.
Yes, they're even in different drawers.
We won't talk
about my naughty drawer, but I do have a naughty drawer. And then I just have my big panty woman Marks and Spencer's drawer.
You see, mine, I bought some from M&S and they've all frayed. The elastic's all frayed. I need to get some, the comfortable ones. You need the comfortable pants.
The higher, the better.
You need the sexy lingerie and all that jazz as well. And now I'm finding about the whole new world of non-underwired bras, and there aren't many places that do good ones. That's all I'm saying. There are places that do very good ones. I also won't name names. But actually, I'm going to name one name. M&S, get your fucking act together. There you go. I've said
right.
it.
Right.
My go-to...
We had to work hard for non-underwire bras.
Yeah.
I did it through COVID from just wanting to be comfortable. Yours is obviously for medical reasons. It's like, come on.
I went in there. It was a big M&S and there was nothing. Primark, a lot better. I got hair in my mouth.
Oh, I hate that. A hairball.
I'm going to have to fish it out. Have I got it? I got it. Oh, it might have been a cat hair. Lucky me. Oh, no, it's red. It's mine.
Stop licking the cats.
Anyway, what the fuck's going on with you? What's happening?
Well, I'm about to move house, Sarah. As you know, that's been rumbling along in the background.
I'm so jealous. And
that will be happening at the end of April. So, that's all very exciting, getting the boxes in, getting packing. So that's taken over my life, basically.
I am jealous. I don't go on Rightmove specifically because I know that I'd be like nagging Andy to move. As it is, this house is very different in my head to how it looks now. And it's lovely. I mean, the downstairs is ideal.
It is lovely.
But it's lovely. But I like tinkering. I like changing things. I think we need new carpet. Oh, this is going to be extremely loud. If I listen, I'll just shut up.
Let's draw the line there.
Right, fuck that, Kaywood. I'm just bimbling along, still trying to find the right fit for everything. So the letrozole is now, I'm on this stuff that stops me producing estrogen and it's, I can feel the last vestiges of any happy hormones leaving my body. So I've been a bit snappy. I've been a bit premenstrual. That's how I felt. And it's really, it's really annoying me because I have zero tolerance for fools and, you know, we're surrounded by them.
Welcome to my world. See, in my world, there is nothing wrong with this. Snap away. It's when you're snapping at people, they're actually being sweet and lovely, and then you have to say sorry.
Yeah, no, it'll all be fine. I think it's about getting used to it and also finding an antidepressant that works because they really... I mean, I'm a big fan of antidepressants. So I still sometimes feel a bit embarrassed being a strong advocate of antidepressants. But they have... And I was on venlafaxine, which is meant to help with the hot flushes, but the hot flushes have ramped up again since I started taking the letrozole. So now I've swapped to sertraline. And obviously, I'm in that two-week period of an antidepressant where it's more difficult before it gets easier.
You're waiting for it to kick in.
I'm waiting for it to sort of build up in my body, I suppose. Yeah. So
are you doing the sage?
Yes, I do the sage every day. They could be a lot worse, I think. They're not awful. They're just, I probably have three a day and probably I get hot in the night, but it's manageable. To be honest with you, Lou, like a lot of this stuff, and I'm sure that a lot of, and you don't have to have had breast cancer to feel this way, you just have to be menopausal, but I just get used to feeling a certain level of discomfort.
And we put up with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm used to, I can't remember a time when I had a full night's sleep and didn't ache. And wasn't hot at least three times a day. Like, so, and that's just, that is my life now. And I'm okay with it because I'm used to it and it's fine. And I
still
have...
Well, I'm just going to say that it's not okay to put up with things. And I think you have to wait for stuff to bed in. Not you, one has to wait for stuff to bed in and then say, I need to change one thing and see if that makes things better for you. Yeah. But I don't think you should be putting up with loads of stuff. Mm. I think it's a long process. That's the point.
Yes,
very
absolutely.
Annoying.
Absolutely. Talking about self-improvement, should we talk about today's guest?
A self-improvement in a really lovely, not in your face, making you feel bad about yourself way.
Absolutely. Let's get to it.
Irregular bitches.
Our guest today is one half of a much-loved couple who have been gently and lovingly helping out the nation with their phobias, anxieties and stresses for over 2 decades and have pioneered their own treatment. The Speakmans believe that everyone can overcome trauma and they're on a mission to make sure we are all living our best lives. Last year, Eva opened up about how brutal her menopause had been, and we're so pleased that she's agreed to join the Irregular Bitches now to talk all things midlife, meno, and coming out the other side. Please welcome Eva Speakman, a ripple!
How are you, love? You all right? Thanks so much. I'm fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, really good, thanks. You
good.
Guys got...
What's the weather like up there?
Yes, it is. I'm actually right between Manchester and Leeds and it's thrown it down here as well. It's wet, it's dull, but life is great. So hey ho, sunshine's in here, in my heart.
Perfect.
I love that. Right, okay, well I need a dose of positivity. I need a dose of Speakman today. So thank you so much for joining us on Irregular Bitches. How are you doing now? Because I know you spoke it was late last year about how tough your menopause had been on you.
Yeah, I did speak about it last year, and when I actually spoke about it, it was literally, I'd come right out the other side, everything was brilliant and feeling fabulous. What I've now learned, so I would say that I've had kind of elements of my journey, and I'm sure that you guys have and many other people have had this, where you start off with that absolute no idea what the hell's going on. And that's where I started. I'm like, what the hell is happening to me? I'm grumpy, I'm weepy, I'm prickly. I can't get out of bed in the morning because my joints are like absolutely killing me. My sleep's disturbed. Like there was just this avalanche of symptoms. But the thing that actually took me to the doctor was that my hair was falling out. And I assumed that that must be something quite serious. And it was then actually that I found out I was in perimenopause, and I genuinely didn't believe that that I could be. And I don't know about you, but then there was this massive embarrassment where I thought, oh my God, I'm officially middle-aged. Did you guys feel that?
It's a bit of a slap. It's a slap around the face. I definitely agree with that. I mourned not being able to have children, you know, stupid, obviously I'm in my 50s, I'm not going to be having babies, but there's definitely a grief process for me as to, okay, I'm now at an age where menopause is here.
Yeah.
Or perimenopause.
And I felt the same way. I mean, I feel like a little bit like this is kind of un-PC to admit, but I did mourn the passing of the idea that anybody would check me out on the street anymore. No more builders wolf whistling, you know. And
they still check you out.
But it doesn't.
She just doesn't notice it either. They still check her out.
But also just that feeling, and I'm sure you guys can totally relate, of just becoming a bit invisible. Whereas men, on the other hand, in mid-age, seem to become even more visible, especially when they buy sports cars and shag 20-year-olds. But that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, but we're looking at them for the wrong reasons, Sarah. We're thinking, what a twat. No, that's what we're thinking.
Irregular
bitches.
Going back to my sort of menopause. So I then sort of went to see the doctor and... like I said, the shock was the biggest thing. But my mum is, my mum's 76, okay, and my mum is incredible. She lifts weights. She looks like she's in her 50s. She goes to the gym most days. Those builders do still wolf whistle at her. And my mum has been on HRT from being in her 40s. And when, so literally, and she had some adversity, by the way, in that, because obviously there was a period where there was some confusion in regards to the safety of HRT, which we now realise isn't quite what it was previously perceived to be. And so, but my mum was always an advocate of HRT, and she always said to me, look, you know, if you don't feel right and you can take it, I would advise HRT all day long. So I went to the doctors, got my HRT. I was given tablets, Femiston, and it was like two tablets. It was a estrogen tablet for the whole, for 14 days, and then a progesterone tablet for 14 days. And I honestly thought, amazing, fantastic. This is it. I'm going to feel myself again, because genuinely I'd completely lost my spark. Like literally, and started taking the tablets, and I'm there thinking, when is it going to happen? And when's it going to happen? And 12 months later, nothing happened, and that made me feel
worse
than I did before. Yes, because I thought that I'm going to get this tablet, I'm going to get this pill. It's going to replenish my hormone levels, and then suddenly I'm going to bounce back. And like I said, by this point, with every passing month, there's more symptoms that are coming to. Ironically, the one I've never had is hot flushes, by the way, which is like, what the hell? But, you know, the urinary tract infections and, you know, the sort of irritability.
Oh, yes.
And like, you know, like just the whole thing. So this is going on. And I must say that because of what we do, I kept implementing all the things that I know will lift my mood up. So I am practicing gratitude. Mm-hmm. I am watching things that make me laugh. I am chatting to Nick. My Nick was sensational. Genuinely, all he kept saying to me is, this is a journey and you've just not yet found your solution. And he was brilliant, like literally. Anyway, so I'm a year in and I'm thinking, the one thing that I expected to be my saviour hasn't done, and that made me plummet even more, because I felt like this one little shred of hope had gone. And I just came to a point. So Nick and I, we host workshops all over the country. And Davina McCall is a friend of ours. And Davina had been to a workshop of ours. She'd been to a few, but she'd been to this one, and she was telling me about how she'd been through menopause and being really honest, which when you're not actually going through it, you sort of hear it, but you're not really listening. You know, you sympathise with that person, mm-hmm. but it's not happening to you, so you don't quite take it on board. But Nick said to me, he said, do you remember, Davina was talking to you about her journey, and she always said, if when it comes to your time, call her if you're struggling. And I was like, why did I not do that already? So I did that. I spoke to Davina, and I went, and I just said, Davina, I have never felt so low. I have never felt so bad. I've never felt so helpless. And it makes me feel quite emotional even sort of going back there. And she said,
yeah, here we go.
She was like, right. And she was so matter of fact and so positive and so informative. And it was like, it was exactly what I needed. Right, I need you to go back to the doctors. I need you to do this. I need you to fill out this menopause symptom questionnaire. If that doesn't work, there is some private, like, you can go see that. She actually had seen a lady called Louise Newsom from Newsom Health. She was like, you can go there. And she suddenly, you know, it's amazing, isn't it? You know, yeah. So it's amazing that... And like I say, we even talk about this at our workshops, because these are like mental health workshops about how to make people feel happier. And we often say that when you don't know what's wrong with you, you are carrying the world's troubles on your shoulders. But you can just walk into a doctor's surgery and they go, oh, yeah, I know what that is. It's nothing. Slap a bit of cream on it. You'll be right as rain in a week. Like nothing's changed other than you've got some new information, but yet you feel lighter and better. And that was how I felt after speaking to Davina. And so then I was like, right, I'm on a mission. Didn't realise there were other options.
Sorry to talk across you.
Not at all.
It's about being in a tribe. is how we feel, isn't Absolutely. It, Sarah? When you've got your tribe, when your friends are all saying the same thing, and you get to the place where you think, I'm not on my own, I haven't got Alzheimer's disease, which I felt lots of people feel. You then get advice from people and you don't feel like you're going mad.
And every day is a school day. I am still finding things out. So I had stage one breast cancer, Eva, in the summer, all dealt with very easily and quickly, and I was very lucky. But so I'm still on a learning journey with, because I can't take HRT, with certain things. I found out yesterday, for instance, that you can boost your testosterone, and you probably know this because you're a gym bunny, you can boost your testosterone levels and hence your libido by working out, because something happens in the building of muscle that produces more testosterone naturally. Who knew? Do you know what I mean? So there's an incentive to get down the gym. But did you, Eva, did you find a solution within HRT eventually, or have you had to navigate your way around that? Because we've never had anybody who's come on and said, well, HRT didn't work for me. Actually, we've had people say they can't take it, but we've not had anybody say it didn't work for me.
Yes. So there were elements. So I got to, the first thing that they did was they put me on gels, and what I then learned, and like you said, this is all a learning, it's like you say, a school day. What I found out was that when they ingest their estrogen, that we don't metabolize it. Everybody metabolizes it very differently, and that can have that can be your stomach acids, that can be all sorts of different things. But I evidently was not metabolizing and absorbing the estrogen, and that was why it wasn't touching me. So it was probably coming in and coming straight back out again. So whereas the gels absorbed immediately, so I was straight on gels and on progesterone tablets, and that was. It wasn't one day I slapped it on, the next day I was like, whoa. It was gradual. So I think probably the first thing that I noticed, that I got out of bed and didn't feel like I had knitting needles being stabbed in my feet. And I was like, oh, hang on a second. I've just got out of bed and that didn't hurt. And then, oh, I've just woke up and I actually slept better than, so it was like a progression, and things started to get better and started to get better. And then I did speak to News and Health, because the one thing that I couldn't get hold of was testosterone. And I'd been told that both by Davina and by other people that now, as you say, it's like a clan that comes together and you start talking about menopause, that you can get estrogen, testosterone from your doctor. However, it's actually not necessarily, it's a little bit stronger, because it's actually meant for men. So I did go through to News and Health, and they did prescribe me, which is all I get from them, is my testosterone. And that is just like a tiny, tiny, tiny amount, which I rub into my butt. And again, that suddenly that lethargy and that sharpness of mind was back. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. So when I spoke on This Morning last year, that was when I'd hit that peak of everything felt it had come back together. However, it wasn't just HRT. I did start lifting weights at the gym. I did start doing yoga, which prior to that, and I've got to be honest, I am into going to the gym. I have been for many, many years. So going to the gym was always sort of part of my remit, but I wasn't lifting enough weights. I always thought that yoga was kind of like, who wants to do yoga? You're not sweating, you're not burning calories. And but I thought, I'm going to give it a go. And the mad thing is that everybody that I see who's got the most cracking figure, I'm like, what do you do? And every one of them goes, yoga. And I'm like, how daft am I that I'm not doing this? By the way, I actually gained 24 pounds in weight during perimenopause, and I've lost all that. And that's great. So I have incorporated yoga, I have incorporated weights. I do eat well. I've cut down on gluten, and I've never really eaten dairy anyway, but I have changed things and adapted things, and I feel amazing.
So actually, I really wanted to ask you, Eva, when you just said that you've gained 24 pounds, do you mean you'd gained that before you start getting fit again, or do you mean you've gained that in muscle? Because I am I look in the mirror, I'm a bit bigger than I was, and I'm terrified. I know that this is not very body positive friendly, a statement to make, and I know that we're all about body positivity, but I don't want to get bigger than I am because I'm little and I like all my clothes and I don't want to have to buy a brand new wardrobe, right? So like Lou's been doing Slimming World and she's looking amazing. I've put on about half a stone. I'm happy with that. But every time I step on the scales, I've put on more weight. I've been doing strength training. Please tell me that's muscle mass.
Right, okay. So, yes, muscle mass does weigh more than body fat, but sadly not. With me, it was perimenopause where I gained 24 pounds of body fat, like genuinely. That was definite. And however, although I dropped that 24 pounds, I've not weighed myself for quite some time since I've been doing weights, and I probably do weigh more, but I don't really care. I don't care about the weight. It was always about my clothes fitting me. And like you,
yeah, and
Sarah,
it's about how you feel, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think that the weight thing, and I know that I didn't talk about it on social media. People had a go at me, you know, because I went from a size 8 to a size 12. And I wasn't criticising anybody being a size 12, but you know what people are like on social media. They kind of look at anything. Instead of going, oh, there's a positive message. What she's saying is that before perimenopause, she gained 24 pounds and went up from an 8 to a 12, and now she's lost it again. Instead of sort of the message, sort of absorbing and accepting my message, it was like, what's wrong with being a size 12? Listen, there's nothing wrong with being a size 18. If you're happy and you're healthy and you feel good,
yeah.
I don't give a crap. You know, you be whatever you feel good with. But for me, all my clothes were size 8 and I couldn't fit in anything, and all I could see was the scales going up. So, yes, I did lose that 24 pounds. Yes, I have gone back to a size 8, but Sarah, please don't worry. I can absolutely categorically tell you that muscle does weigh more. And so as long as you're fitting in your clothes, that is all you need to be thinking about, realistically.
I've come to the realisation that I'm now sort of, I was always a 6 to 8 and now I'm an 8 to 10. And I've come to the realisation that I'm not going to be able to, I've been doing the 16-8, which essentially, it's all just calorie counting. The Slimming World, the fasting, the keto, it's all basically energy in, energy out, essentially, at the end of the day. And I'm trying to limit that, although I did have an epic lasagna last night, which won't have helped. So I'm okay with the fact that I've gone up a dress size because everything just about still fits me. But I'd still, like you, I don't want to buy a whole wardrobe of new clothes. So I'm gonna stick now. I'm not going to twist. Is that what you say? Stick or twist? So that I'm just going to stay here, do my strength work, try and really get strong. I can't believe how much, and I don't know if you found this, Eva, I can't believe how much the strength work has helped with the joint pain. Like, I ache after the gym, but definitely. I feel so, like getting in and out of the car, I no longer, this is the sound I was making until about 3 weeks ago. Getting out of any seat. It was agony. I felt about 83 years old and now I'm getting stronger. I feel it's wonderful. Feels really good. So strength work for the win, even though it's horrible to do at the time.
Completely agree with you. And the other thing is that I do know quite a lot about sort of the gym and training. We actually own a health club, so, and that was sort of training that I had way back when I do know that the more muscle mass that you hold, you carry and you have, the more calories you will burn and your metabolic rate will be higher. So you're absolutely right. And I just think that people underestimate the positive benefits of weight training, because I think everybody thinks, I don't want to look like a man. Well, you'd have to really lift a heck of a lot of weight to get to that point, and it would take a long time. It doesn't happen overnight. So definitely weight training. Do try, honestly, yoga is great. I've never been to a yoga class in my life. I literally just did it all on YouTube and now have just created my own little routine that I like to do that is based very much on breathing and on using my body strength a little bit, but also on stretching. So I can get my legs and feet and arms in places that I never could pre-perimenopause. So that's a positive.
And Nick is thrilled.
I think he is, yeah, because he's got this new edition of a wife. But I would like to, just being really realistic here, So I spoke about how brilliant I feel, and I do. However, something that I learned this year is that you can still have little drops. And don't expect to get to just feel like, you know, you're a Duracell bunny and you're, everything's great 24/7, because that isn't how it works. And so I do know that the symptoms that we feel from our daughter's a neuroscientist, by the way, which is like really helpful because she knows all about like chemicals and hormonal chemicals. I know, she went to Oxford as well, you know, like
brilliant,
right? And I know, and she and Liv kind of was explaining about like how about the chemicals work, and basically what she was saying is that it's all about balance. So if your hormones are low but they're balanced low, then you will feel okay. If your hormones are high and they're balanced high, then you will adapt and feel okay. She said what the problem is with these symptoms is the fluctuations. And I feel that I've had a little fluctuation still this last month or so. So I'm taking the HRT and then I've gone, okay, something's not feeling great again. I can feel my mood's dropped. I can feel the sort of brain fog again. Not even anywhere near as before. But I think it's really interesting, and I think we should all appreciate that the drop of our estrogen levels is going to go on for quite some time. So we still might be on HRT and then think, oh, okay, something's going on here, I need to adapt. So instead of having three pumps of my HRT, I've gone to 3.5, and I'm sort of playing with it. So it's not plain sailing constantly yet for me, but I'm nearly there.
Can I just ask, what time frame are we talking here, Eva? When did you first pinpoint it was perimenopause, and from that point to today?
Okay, so I don't want to upset anybody, but it was probably about 4 years, three, four years. Realistically, now looking back, you go, okay, that's why that was happening. That was why I was starting to put a bit more weight on. The hair loss, that took ages before anybody would, first of all, listen to me. Because first of all, go to your hairdresser. You know, as we age, our hair starts to drop out. And I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I know my body. I know me. Don't tell me. Don't tell me because I'm feeling low. Try and give me antidepressants. Because I know that I am not depressed. You know, I know that my life is great. That I've, because of, you know, of what we do, I've done a complete overhaul and spring clean of my past and childhood. So I know that there's nothing residual. I know that this is more. But you do have to keep going back there. Persistency is key. Persistency and knowledge is absolutely paramount when you're going to see your doctor, because then they sort of eventually...
We are the guinea pigs.
Yeah.
Our generation are the guinea pigs. Our children, because the boys need to understand just as much as the girls, because I want to ask you about Nick, they're not going to have these struggles because we've done the hard work for them. So as soon as they start to lose their hair or experience brain fog or any of the other symptoms, they're going to know that it's perimenopause. We've had to find out this all on our own.
Yeah, because our mums,
all of us are having to
find
out.
Because our mums just didn't talk about that shit, the wallies. I always think of the estrogen levels as being like a plane coming into land. So you know how you go, how you drop a plane, drop, you can't see, this is a podcast, Sarah, when you're in a plane, like you feel you drop sort of incrementally until you're low enough to land the plane. And I just think that that's what's happening to our estrogen levels, because I've noticed exactly the same as you, Eva, and I'm on a different journey because I'm not taking HRT. So I've just gone on letrozole, which is an aromatase inhibitor. It basically removes any estrogen that's being made by any other bits of my body.
Yes.
And I'm postmenopausal. And so I've noticed since I started taking that 3 weeks ago that I've had another one of the drops. And it's the snappiness for me. All of a sudden, people piss me off really easily just by being near
me. They've always pissed me off. They've always pissed me off. Now I just blame it on the menopause. It's marvellous.
You're so funny, Lou. But yeah, so I've noticed that. I've really noticed that. She's my ballsy girl. Now we need to go back to Nick. Sorry, I'm going to change the subject. But
So
well, let's do Nick first, and then I've got a question I want to ask Eva.
And then can I ask you a question, Sarah? Because I'm quite intrigued about your journey without HRT. Because I'm guessing Lou is on HRT.
I am. I am, and I have a supportive partner, and I think that helps enormously when you haven't got somebody feeding back to you, what's wrong with you? Are you going mad? I don't understand. So therefore, not supportive. But he has literally educated himself with me, and now, not literally, doesn't work, but he has a much better understanding of managing women. Much better. Yeah. So, and it sounds like Nick's the same. And Andy, I mean, Andy has to listen to this. God bless the man. He is the most educated. Oh. But it sounds like Nick sort of, you know, naturally was there supporting you through this.
All the way through. Nick has, like, literally whatever has happened in my life, and I have faced quite a lot of challenges in life, that he has always been the one that goes, do you know what? Nick's philosophy is there's nothing that can't get fixed. There's nothing that can't be made to feel better. There's nothing that can't be made to be good again that's felt so bad. And he is incredible in that department. And just as soon as he sort of identifies that, you know, maybe she's been a bit prickly because it's one of those days, he just kind of observes me and sees what he thinks, whether he thinks it's a hug or whether he thinks it's cracking a joke or it's scarpering, whichever of those it might be. He's really good at reading me, but no, he has been incredible. And like you, Lo, he has been learning with me, as have our kids. I've made our kids a big part of this. Our daughter's 26, our son's 18, and we are an incredibly close family. We do everything together. We talk about everything. So even, you know, these things that we've learned and that we've been finding out. So our son's gone off and researched things and gone, oh, right, Mum, you know, this natural supplement is supposed to help with this. And then Liv was sort of like researching the chemicals that are involved. And so it has, I genuinely have not felt alone. I have been so incredibly fortunate. I am so blessed that they are just fantastic. And Nick's brilliant at listening to me sort of sometimes. I'll whinge on a bit and then he always manages to turn it for me to sort of make me feel better.
And so did you know, Lou, that Eva has an 18-year-old hunter. I've got an 11-year-old hunter.
Yes. Yeah, I actually, because I was listening to the podcast, obviously, because it's a brilliant podcast that you've got here, girls. I was listening.
Thank
and I was
you.
Like, oh, my God, she's got a hunter as well. That's amazing.
Irregular.
Bitches.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Now, Eva, you said you wanted to ask me. I see I'm having a hot flush now, girls. Could you mind if I just take my jumper off? Wait there.
Please do.
No, go for
it. Here we go. Yeah. On, off, on, off, on, off.
It's oh, honestly, leopard print it's like, bra.
I like, you know,
gorgeous.
Lemonade bra on. It's like
lemonade,
somebody's inside you, Eva. This is what a hot flush is like. It's like there's a gremlin inside you going, hee-hee-hee, I'm just going to turn the thermostat up. And then I'm going to turn it right down. And then I'm going to turn it up again, and then I'm going to turn it up some more, and then I'm going to turn it right down. So you're literally like, sweater off, sweater on, sweater off. Fuck me, it's freezing, sweater on. And it's exhausting.
Well, welcome back with your bra.
And I get really sweaty right down my cleavage.
My question to you was, so do you take natural supplements? Because I actually do take natural supplements, but I always have done, but now more so. And I just wondered whether you do take natural supplements, because again, just through what I've been through and listening to people, I believe there's quite a few things like sage and red clover and black cohosh and things like that that can really help if you're not taking HRT.
They can, except if you're in breast cancer recovery, they can stop your aromatase inhibitor working, and they can sometimes stimulate estrogen production. So I can take sage, and I take omegas 3, 6, and 9 for my joints, and I could take glucosamine. I can't take red clover. I can't take star flower. I can't take, you have to even be careful that you don't eat too much soy, because it's very hormonal. I don't really understand. So it's quite interesting, but there are, and I know my pink sisters who are listening to this will know, there are, you can go to, there's any number of websites where you can go and check the drug interaction. But for anybody who doesn't want to take HRT, and I would say if you can, you should, because it's so good at preventing disease, and it's better at preventing disease than it is at causing it, essentially. So it's better for your bones. Oh, and I take calcium and vitamin D that I get prescribed as well for osteoporosis to keep that at bay. But I would say to anybody who can take it, because it's an absolute miracle drug. And if you can't and you're a pink sister, breast cancer, in treatment of breast cancer or recovering, check with your oncologist. And if you just don't want to or it doesn't agree with you, then yeah, throw the supplement book at it. I just think, and find one that works for you, because there's always, it's like a bear hunt. You can't get over it, you can't go under it, you gotta go through it. So find out what helps you do exactly that, I think.
And it takes time, right? I mean, I had to wait 4 months before my HRT kicked in. I had to wait, you know, I had to wait months for supplements to kick in. But it's worth the wait, but it's not quick.
Yeah, no, it's not. And what HRT are you on, Lou?
So I'm on the gel. I'm on Estrogel. I do 2 pumps per leg and the progesterone for 13 days of the month. Because I'm still, even though I'm nearly 53, having periods every month. Yes, but I am about to go for what's it called when you look inside your abdomen, a scan, an ultrasound of my abdomen, because my periods now are bone crushingly painful, to, you know, having a contraction stop, hold the wall, painful.
Ow.
So I'm going to go and have an ultrasound and find out what's going on. So I'll keep you posted.
Irregular bitches.
So with you guys being life coaches, you know, and you know, this is, and you are both brilliantly positive, and you truly are what you teach. But was it really hard when you were feeling really low? Were you just, you know, did you think to yourself, I'm going to have to hide this because, you know, I'm teaching something that is not how I'm feeling at the moment? So did you feel like you couldn't really be honest either with yourself or with your audience, which I think is just awful?
Absolutely. I mean, I do remember there were times when we were on This Morning and I genuinely was worried that I was going to forget what we were doing there, what I was going to say. Like, you have things in your mind, you think, oh, I must say that. So there were times like that. And yeah, I did, because I was, as I say, it was really strange. I know better. But yeah, even then, there was an element of me that felt a bit embarrassed, and also this like admittance that I'm not young, as it were, anymore. That, because my impression was from being a kid that women go through menopause when they're really old, and then like I'm like, that's not exactly what happened. That isn't what it is. Like, we're in the prime of our lives right now. Like, literally, I feel that we are in such an advantageous position as we are right now, because we have had life experience behind us. We are no longer sort of making the same mistakes. We don't accept fools, or, you know, we're much wiser to other things, other people, other experiences. And you've kind of lost that need to be at home 24/7 because your kids are getting a bit older. So I actually think that this point right now in our lives, we are the best that we possibly ever could be, with wisdom and with time. And I just, so yeah, I was a bit embarrassed because I just thought, and I think the hardest thing was because I didn't know how long this was going to go on for. And I didn't know, because I was taking HRT tablets and nothing was changing, I was like, oh, bloody hell, this is as good as it's going to get. And the last thing I wanted to do, obviously at home I spoke about it with Nick, but I did not want to talk or tell anybody else, because I have this belief that negativity is contagious, and I thought, I'm not going to pollute somebody else with my negativity right now, because I need to have a serious word with myself. I know that there's something going on right now and it needs to change, and so I didn't want to talk about it. I was having a bad day and I just was really sick of it all. And then suddenly, and that's when I sort of thought, actually, I will start talking about it a little bit more, and did start telling people how I was feeling. But then this was at the point now where I'm changing to the gels. And then there was this one day where I just thought, oh my God, I feel brilliant. And that was realistically what happened, as having gone through the journey. I spoke about it then for the first time, and I literally just did a little film on our Instagram and TikTok and whatever, and I put it up, and then I was absolutely gobsmacked with the avalanche of people saying, oh my God, I'm going through that, oh my God, I've been there, oh my God, that's happening to me. And then after speaking on this morning, and I was very nervous, because I was like, are people really going to be interested in my menopause journey? Like, oh my God, I did the interview. And I came off the sofa, and from that moment, my phone was just going, like, pinging like mad. And I had women stopping me in the street, hugging me and thanking me. I had an abundance of messages and emails saying, there was one message that I remember reading, and I just burst into tears. I was on the train coming home from London after being on This Morning, and the woman and this lady said, You have just saved my life. I thought there was something terribly wrong with me and I wanted to end my life. And today I've realised I'm likely perimenopausal. I've made an appointment to see my doctor. I was like, oh my God. It Perfect. Was just like...
We love those
Thank
stories.
The Lord for the speakmen. Just to digress slightly, because I think what you and Nick do is absolutely incredible. But can you tell us about the treatment that you guys devised? Because it's absolutely fantastic. I'm wondering whether I need to investigate.
Yes, thank you. Okay, so we've developed three therapies, all based on trauma, because what we genuinely believe, that if anybody struggles with anxiety, phobias, OCD, PTSD, issues around addiction, food, like low confidence, fear of judgment, imposter syndrome, all these things, panic attacks, all these things are a consequence of some trauma that you've had in your past. And we like to think of all those symptoms, imagine that they're blood, and that blood, or that PTSD, that phobia, that anxiety, that panic attack comes from an emotional wound that hasn't yet been healed. So our therapy is very much based about helping those emotional wounds to heal. And we've developed three therapies. And one of them, which is the one that we specifically use for trauma, has been scientifically studied now over the last 6 years by professors and psychologists at Amsterdam University and Utrecht University in Holland. And as a consequence of the trials that have been done, there have been three scientific papers published that basically says our therapy tested against a trauma therapy called EMDR, which you may be familiar with. It's the World Health Organization go-to therapy for trauma. And basically the underlying sort of result of the three scientific studies was that the efficacy of our therapy superseded that of EMDR. So that was all very exciting. And as a consequence of those three studies, and there were something like nearly 200, there was 248 participants in those three studies. So they were significant. And as a consequence of those three studies, they approached the Ethical Medical Council and said to the Ethical Medical Council, we have this amazing therapy that's been devised by the Speakmans. We have now tested it on 248 participants. The results have been that the efficacy supersedes EMDR, can we have permission to now use it for clinical trials in hospitals? So just before COVID, that was granted. And the psychologists in a hospital in Bilthoven in Amsterdam, in Holland rather, started to utilise our therapy on trauma patients. Now, the results are embargoed. But they should be published within the next six to eight weeks. But I'm smiling. But yes, they. But yeah, they, those should come through.
That is, and that is so exciting.
Irregular bitches.
I was going to say that, you know, don't struggle with, you know, with, if anybody is struggling with trauma, then, you know, you absolutely can, no matter how traumatic something is in life, you know, we can get through it. As human beings, we are so bloody, you know, resilient and strong and capable. You know, so don't, you know, nobody should really struggle with anything really, even like menopause, you know, if any, you know, someone who's listening to this and thinking, oh, my doctor's not listening, then literally get onto the menopausecharity.org, get on there, print off the NICE guidelines, because that tells your doctor what you're entitled to, and go and show your doctor, you know, there you go, I know that you have to, you're obligated to help me because it's in the NICE guidelines, and I think that I don't know if anybody, and maybe you've discussed this and I've missed it, but, you know, going in with a list of symptoms is always the best thing to do. But you've just got to be persistent and go, look, I need help. And whether that is menopause, whether that is trauma, whether that is anxiety. And just another thing that I just, which you may not be aware of, that so I mentioned about our studies. And what's really lovely about those studies now is that we probably only need one or two more for us to satisfy the NICE guidelines to then approach the NHS to give our therapy to them, which is something that we've always wanted to do. But also, because of what we do, because we've been working on this morning for so long, and because we do literally get hundreds and thousands of emails from people asking for help, and we often feel that people have hope taken away from them, so they think that they just have to manage symptoms, whether that be around anxiety, whether that be around menopause, and we always sort of say, look, the best gift you can give anybody is hope that they can feel better, hope that they can get better, and because that kind of gives you a reason to carry on. And we actually used to do phone-ins and things on this morning, we used to refer people to different charities. Obviously, we couldn't help everybody. We put fact sheets up. And then after COVID, there was this, we found that all charities were absolutely at capacity. And they were, you know, people contacting us, yeah, you know, you told me about this charity, but they're at capacity, understandably, because of COVID, blah, blah, blah. And we thought, all right then, sod it, we'll start our own charity. So we actually started a charity a year ago. We're only just now starting to talk about it this week. And the reason that we're only talking about it this week, so hot off the press, you're first to hear about it. We have posted a little bit about it on our social
exclusive
media.
Exclusive to Irregular Bitches.
Exclusive, there you go. So the charity is called Trauma Research UK. And the reason that we wanted to wait to hold back on setting it up, look, the website has an abundance of different resources. But what we wanted was more than that. We wanted to offer face-to-face. So with people that we've cured, with people that we had met over the years who had been told they could never get better but now have, so can give others hope, we have 20 right now volunteers. Everybody's a volunteer. Everything's voluntary, but we have about 20 now volunteer mentors, and we provide a Zoom program over 6 weeks to help and support people over a six-week period face-to-face via Zoom, and I'm just incredibly proud of that. But it's just another little, if you can't find an answer, then create your own, basically, is the message there.
That's wonderful. I have to,
what a wonderful thing
and
to
I
do.
Actually, I have to say, when I was prepping this and thinking about you and Nick and going through a bit of, you know, what's online and obviously what I knew anyway, I did just, you are so kind, you two. You are so kind. And it's wonderful that you're both in the public eye to spread that shit around like confetti. Do you know what I mean? And to that end, thank you. Oh, thank you so much, Eva, for coming on Irregular Bitches. We really appreciate it. It's so important for us all to share our stories, normalise them, so to speak, and for women to see that even brilliantly positive life coaches can struggle. Yeah.
Oh, well, listen, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed chatting to you. I hope that you're happy with everything that I was sharing there, and I didn't share too much.
Thank you for your time.
Oh, Eva, you have been absolutely amazing. Now, before we hoof off, we've just got time for one of Lady Ashworth's gorgeous poems to soothe your souls.
Irregular Bitches.
With all my heart, I urge you to heal. Take back the power that was stolen from you. Slay the demons, right the wrongs, and open that Pandora's box you're keeping so very tightly closed. You have one life, sweet one, and you deserve it to be beautiful. You deserve to heal. And every day you're not healing, you're carrying on a cycle that you did not ask for. If there is one thing in this life I can urge you to do, my friend, it's to heal. Begin. Just by realising how very badly broken you've been and how very, very brave you are. That's the key to the box. Turn it. It will hurt for a while, but you know all about hurt. It can't hurt more, but it can hurt less. And it will, if you would just start to heal.
Beautiful as ever. She does get better with every poem, I'm sure. Right, time for us to bugger off now. Thank you so, so much to Eva for being an irregular bitch with us today. To my husband for his epic editing and production skills. And to Chopasaurus for our catchy theme tune. And finally, to the pickle. To my cheese. To the pickle, to my cheese, is that right? Yes, my Lulu. She always gets the last word, and that is...
Stay cool, bitches.
Not a chance in hell.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.